Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom to all. All right. Let me get right into this. We're starting to show off with the Lord's Prayer. Always in Aramaic. Here we go. Avum Gvishmaya Nithkadashimuk Tite Merkutuk. Nihwe Soyanuk. I cannot dismaya Akbara. Halon Lakman Sunaknan Yumana. Ushukulan Cobain. I cannot Dabkan Shwakulak Yawin. Ula Telan Lidishuna. Ula Pasan Menbisha. Mutadidluk Hai Malkuta Ukala Utushbukta. La alam, amen, amen. All right. Those words just in Aramaic, it's just something about them. I don't know. Sounds a whole lot better than English, I'll tell you that. Well, again, shalom, and welcome to those that have tuned in, those that will be tuning in, and those that may hear this from the archives, welcome to Straightway Truth here on Blog Talk Radio. And I am your host, Brother Anton, a.k.a. The Watchman. Now, the main topic of tonight's broadcast will be about what is called the Protocols of Zion. I was listening to another Blog Talk a few nights ago, where the individual was discussing them. And this prompted me to do the same and share it with others as well. Some of you may have read parts of it, so please bear with me as I offer it to those that have not heard it or have not read about it, There is much controversy surrounding the authenticity of this document. One report claims that the Protocols of Zion is a forgery which was created in Russia for the secret police around 1897, and it was made available to the public around 1905. Now, this claim indicates the protocols were copied and altered from a novel created by Hermann Goetsch. It's G-E-O-D-S-H-E. I probably didn't pronounce that correctly. But anyway, this novel was called Dialogues in Hell Between Machiavelli and Montague. And that was in 1864. Now, a man by the name of Lucien Wolff exposed these protocols as a forgery around 1935, which was publicized by Philip Graves. He was a correspondent for the London Times. Now, another man by the name of Herman Bernstein, also tried to expose the fraudulent protocols in his book called The Protocols of Zion, A Complete Exposure. That was 1935. All three of those men failed to convince the world that it could very possibly be a forgery intent on blaming the Jews for the state of the world as it was in that day. Now, whether the Protocols of Zion can be a forgery or not, I offer two statements from historical figures. Quote, "The only statement I care to make about the protocols is that they fit in with what is going on. They are 16 years old. And they have fitted the world situation up to this time. They fit it now." And that was from Henry Ford. The next one, quote, to what extent the whole existence of this people is based on a continuous lie is shown incomparably by the protocols of the wise men of Zion. Now, that one came from Adolf Hitler in Mein Kampf. Now, personally, I reserve judgment on this document called the Protocols of Zion. For this simple fact, I wasn't there. However, what I have read certainly does fit what is going on today. So, if it is a forgery, it is a very clever one. It's not unlike reading a few quatrains from Nostradamus, if you ask me. Now, a cartoonish view one could take on this is Pinky and the Brain. Now, what is it they always say? The brain says, come, Pinky, we must prepare for tomorrow night. And Pinky says, why? What are we going to do tomorrow night? And the brain says, same thing we do every night, Pinky, try to take over the world. Now, that sure reflects the sentiment. Just from that cartoon statement, one can see the mindset of the institution responsible for anything media-related. Now, what exactly is this Protocols of Zion? Now, here's a brief from the online source called Wikipedia. I call it Wikipedia. Now, I'm going to quote a portion of it verbatim. The Protocols of the Elders of Zion is a fraudulent, anti-Semitic text purporting to describe a Jewish plan for achieving global domination. It was first published in Russia in 1903, translated into multiple languages, and disseminated internationally in the early part of the 20th century. Henry Ford funded printing 500,000 copies, which were distributed throughout the United States in the 1920s. Adolf Hitler and the Nazis were major proponents of the text. It was studied as if factual in German classrooms after the Nazi Party came to power in 1933. Despite having been exposed as fraudulent years before, in the opinion of historian Norman Cohn, that's C-O-H-N, the Protocols was Hitler's primary justification for initiating the Holocaust, his warrant for genocide. The Protocols purports to document the minutes of the late 19th century meeting of Jewish leaders during their goal of global Jewish hegemony by subverting the morals of Gentiles and by controlling the press and the world's economies. It is still widely available today, still presented, typically as a genuine document on the internet and in print in numerous languages. Now, that was from Wikipedia. Now, the Protocols consist of 24 chapters with subsections within each. I will read you a portion from some of the protocols, pulling from those that seem most interesting. Now, before I get into the actual protocols, I'm going to take a short break just to give some more folks time to log in and offer us a musical interlude. And be right back. Thank you. Aramaic being sung. Now, let's dig into this. I hope you're ready for this. Now, okay, if you're just tuning in, at show start, I explained that I will be covering the protocols of Zion. Now, I cannot say if the protocols are real or a forgery. I leave that open for you to do your own opinion. Now, we'll be reading portions of the protocols verbatim. I may or may not offer comment. Now, actually, I was a bit reluctant to talk about this material, but as some of you may have heard me before, I say, to know the enemy, you must know the enemy. And that knowledge may give you some insight to their diabolical mindset and help bolster your defenses. Here we go. We'll start protocol number one, starting at paragraph 7, and I will read through to 11. This subsection is entitled Gold, G-O-L-D, number 7. In our day, the power which has replaced that of the rulers who were liberal is the power of gold. Time was when faith ruled. The idea of freedom is impossible of realization because no one knows how to use it with moderation. It is enough to hand over a people to self-government for a certain length of time for that people to be turned into a disorganized mob. From that moment on, we get internecine strife, which soon develops into battles between classes, in the midst of which states burn down and their importance is reduced to that of a heap of ashes. Number 8, whether a state exhausts itself in its own convulsions, whether its internal discord brings it under the power of external foes, in any case, it can be accounted irretrievably lost. It is in our power. The despotism of capital, which is entirely in our hands, reaches out to it a straw that the state willy-nilly must take hold of. If not, it goes to the bottom. Man, just reading this stuff makes my skin itch. Number 9. Should anyone of a liberal mind say that such reflections as the above are above immoral, I will put the following questions. If every state has two foes, and if in regard to the external foe, it is allowed and not considered immoral to use every manner and art of conflict, as, for example, to keep the enemy in ignorance of plans of attack and defense. Bam, right in the face. To attack him by night or in superior numbers, then in that way, can the same means in regard to a worse foe, the destroyer of the structure of society and the commonweal, be called immoral and not permissible? Oof. Number 10. It is possible for any sound logical mind to hope with any success to guide crowds by the aid of reasonable counsels and arguments, when any objection or contradiction, senseless though it may be, can be made, and when such objection may find more favor with the people, whose powers of reasoning are superficial. Men in masses and the men of the masses being guided solely by petty passions, paltry beliefs, traditions, and sentimental theorems, fall prey to the party, to party dissension, which hinders any kind of argument, even on the basis of a perfectly reasonable argument. Every resolution of a crowd depends upon a chance or packed majority, which, in its ignorance of political secrets, puts forth some ridiculous resolution that lays in the administration a seed of anarchy. Wow. Number 11. The political has nothing in common with the moral. The ruler who is governed by the moral is not a skilled politician and is therefore unstable on his throne. He who wishes to rule must have recourse both to cunning and to make believe. Wow. Great national qualities. Life frankness, like frankness and honesty, are vices in politics, for they bring down rulers from their thrones more effectively and more certainly than the most powerful enemy. Such qualities must be the attributes of the kingdoms of the Goyim, but we must be in no wise be guided by them. Now, you know, the Goyim is the Gentiles, non-Jews, their definition of it. Man, this is just crazy, isn't it, so far? Okay, protocol number one, starting at paragraph 25, reading through to 29. This subsection is entitled, We Shall End Liberty. Far back in ancient times, we were the first to cry among the masses of the people the words liberty, equality, fraternity. Words many times repeated since these days by stupid poll parrots who, from all sides around, flew down upon these baits and with them carried away the well-being of the world, true freedom, and the individual. Formerly so well guarded against the pressure of the mob, the would-be wise men of the Goyim, the intellectuals, could not make anything out of the uttered words in their abstractedness, did not see that in nature there is no equality, cannot be freedom, that nature herself has established inequality of minds, of character, of capacities, just as immutably as she has established subordination to her laws. Never stop to think that the mob is a blind thing, that upstarts elected from among it to bear rule are, in regard to the political, the same blind men as the mob itself, that the adept, though he can be a fool, can yet rule, whereas the non-adept, even if he were a genius, understands nothing in the political. Wow. To all those things, the Goyim paid no regard. Yet the time it was based upon these things that dynastic rule rested. The father passed on to the son a knowledge of the course of political affairs in such wise that none should know it but members of the dynasty, and none could betray it to the governed. As time went on, the meaning of the dynastic transference of the true position of affairs and the political was lost, and this aided the success of our cause. Man, hope I can make it through this. I'm telling you, read this protocol design is it's disturbing. Like I said, whether it's real or actual effect, if it's real or forgery, just the simple fact that somebody took the time to do this is yeah. I can't even find a correct word for it. It's dumbfounding. Anyway, okay. Number 26. In all corners of the earth, the words liberty, equality, fraternity brought to our ranks, thanks to our blind agents, whose legions who bore our banners with enthusiasm, and all the time these words were cankerworms at work, boring into the well-being of the Goyim, putting an end everywhere to peace, quiet, solidarity, and destroying all the foundations of the Goya states. As you will see later, this helped us to our triumph. It gave us the possibility, among other things, of getting into our hands the master card, the destruction of privileges, or in other words, of the very existence of the aristocracy of the Goyim. That class, which was the only defense peoples and countries had against us. On the ruins of the eternal and genealogical aristocracy of the Goyim, we have set up the aristocracy of our educated classes headed by the aristocracy of money. The qualifications for this aristocracy we have established in wealth, which is dependent upon us, and in knowledge, for which our learned elders provided the motive force. 27. Our triumph has been rendered easier by the fact that in our relations with men whom we wanted, We have always worked upon the most sensitive chords of the human mind, upon the cash accounts, upon the cupidity, and I didn't say stupidity, cupidity, 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 upon the insatiability for material needs of man, and each of these human weaknesses, taken alone, is sufficient to paralyze initiative, for it hands over the will of men to the disposition of him who has bought their activities. 28. The abstraction of freedom has enabled us to persuade the mob in all countries that their government is nothing but the steward of the people, who are the owners of the country, and that the steward may be replaced like a worn-out glove. 29. It is this possibility of replacing the representatives of the people which has placed at our disposal and, as it were, given us the power of appointment. Wow. Okay. Protocol number 2, starting at paragraph 3, reading to 5, subsection is entitled Destructive Education. Number 3, do not suppose for a moment that these statements are empty words. Think carefully of the success we arranged for Darwinism, Marxism, what is that? Nietzscheism. Nietzscheism? Anyway, to us Jews, at any rate, it should be plain to see what a disintegrating importance of these directives have had upon the minds of the Goyim. Number 4, it is indispensable for us to take account of the thoughts, characters, tendencies of the nations in order to avoid making slips in the political and in the direction of administrative affairs. The triumph of our system, of which the component parts of the machinery may be variously disposed according to the temperament of the peoples met on our way. Wow. That's that old expression, you know, about throwing a monkey wrench in the program, in the machinery. Well, okay. We'll fail of success if the practical application of it be not based upon a summing up of the lessons of the past in the light of the present. Number 5. In the hands of the states of today, there is a great force that creates the movement of thought in the people, and that is the press. The part played by the press is to keep pointing our requirements, supposed to be indispensable, to give voice to the complaints of the people, to express and to create discontent. That's your media. Now, it is in the press that the triumph of freedom of speech finds its incarnation, but the Goyim states have not known how to make use of this force. Wow. And it has fallen into our hands. Through the press, we have gained the power to influence while remaining ourselves in the shade. Thanks to the press, we have got the gold in our hands. Notwithstanding... I'm sorry, just reading that just made me laugh. Man, these people are crazy. Notwithstanding that we have had to gather it out of the oceans of blood and tears, but it has paid us. Maybe pause for a moment because this is making me laugh. This particular paragraph that I read just making me laugh. Okay, but it has paid us, though we have sacrificed many of our people. Each victim on our side is worth, in the sight of God, 1,000 goyim. My. Protocol number 3, paragraph 5, this subsection is entitled, Poverty Our Weapon. All people are chained down to heavy toil by poverty more firmly than ever. Ain't that the truth? Now, I just added that. Ain't that the truth? Now, they were chained by slavery and serfdom. From these, one way and another, they might free themselves. That sounds like an oxymoron in that statement to me. You know, anyway, these could be settled with, but from want, they will never get away. We have included in the Constitution such rights as to the... Wait a minute. Okay, let me back up a section. This document was supposed to be created in Russia. It's supposed to be a forgery. But listen to that one sentence. We have included in the Constitution such rights as to the masses appear fictitious and not actual rights. Okay. So if... Interesting. See, there's a red flag just went up there for me. The fact that that one particular sentence appears in here. Okay. All these so-called people's rights can exist only in idea, an idea which can never be realized in practical life. What is it to the proletariat laborer, bowed doubled over in his heavy toil, crushed by his lot in life, if talkers get the right to babble, if journalists get the right to scribble, and any nonsense side by side with good stuff, once the proletariat, no other profit out of the Constitution save only those pitiful crumbs which we fling them from our table in return for their voting in favor of what we dictate, in favor of the men we place in power, the servants of our agentur. Republican rights for a poor man are no more than a bitter piece of irony for the necessity he is under of toiling almost all day gives him no present use of them, but the other hand robs him of all guarantee of regular and certain earnings by making him dependent on strikes by his comrades or lockouts by his masters. Wow. Now, just in case y'all want to go back and read that one for yourself later, it's protocol number 3, paragraph 5. The subsection was poverty our weapon. Okay. Moving to, now you see what I'm doing, I'm going to just skip through a lot of different protocols because there's no way I can read all of them for you. It's too many. Okay, protocol number 5. Start at paragraph 3. Read 3-5. The subsection is entitled, We Shall Destroy God. But even, number 3, but even freedom might be harmless and have its place in the state of economy without injury to the well-being of its peoples if it is rested upon the foundation of faith in God, upon the brotherhood of humanity, unconnected with the conception of equality, which is negative by the very laws of creation. For they have established subordination. With such a faith as this, a people might be governed by a wardship of parishes and will walk contentedly and humbly under the guiding hand of its spiritual pastor, submitting to the dispositions of God upon earth. This is the reason why, and this is bold letters, it is indispensable for us to undermine all faith, to tear out of the mind of the Gorian the very principle of Godhead and the Spirit, and to put in its place arithmetical calculations and material needs. Wow. Number 4. In order to give the Gordian no time to think and take note, their minds must be diverted towards industry and trade. That's right. Keep you laboring. Keep you slumped over. That's what I just heard. Thus, all the nations will be swallowed up in the pursuit of gain and in the race, for it will not take note of the common foe. But again, in order that freedom may once for all disintegrate and ruin the communities of the Goyim, we must put industry on a speculative basis. The result of this will be that which what is withdrawn from the land by industry will slip through the hands and pass into speculation, that is, to our classes. Number five, the intensified struggle for superiority and shocks delivered to economic life will create, nay, have already created, disenchanted, cold and heartless communities. Such communities will foster a strong aversion towards the higher political and towards religion. The only guide is gain, that is, gold, which they will erect into a veritable cult for the sake of those material delights which it can give. Then will the hour strike, not for the sake of attaining the good, not even to win wealth, but solely out of the hatred towards the privileged. The lower classes of the Goyim will follow our lead against our rivals for power, the intellectuals of the Goyim. That sounds... Wow. And just that paragraph that I read, even though this was written or forged or whatever the case may be so many years ago, it fits exactly what's going on. Because right there it says you're going to take the lower class and pit them against the upper class. Wow. Causes division. Okay. So, yeah, how is this grabbing you all this far? It should sound incredible that, somebody actually took the time to develop this plan for the world and its inhabitants, be it real or a forgery. To me, it just took a sick-minded individual to put a pen to paper for this. But like I said, what should be the most shocking for you is how it mirrors what is actually transpiring in the world around us today. Okay, I'm going to take a pause for the cause with an important station break. Be right back.
We're glad to have each and every last one of you here tonight listening to us on Blog Talk Radio. This is Pastor Dow. If you'd like to contact us, our phone number is area code 615-688-3025. That is, again, 615-688-3025. If you'd like to correspond with us or if you'd like to support this particular ministry with your gifts, your offerings, or letter of support, you can send it to Pastor Charles Dowell. That is Pastor Charles Dowell, and the last name is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. That is Pastor Charles Dow. You can send your letter to 632 Highway 52 Bypass West. That's 632 Highway 52 Bypass West. PMB. Number 1, Lafayette, Tennessee. And Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E, Tennessee. And the area code is 37083. Again, the mailing address is Pastor Charles Dowell, Highway 632, 52 Bypass West, PMB number 1, Lafayette, Tennessee, 877-207-3783. Our website is www.straightwaytruth.com, and that is spelled StraightwayTruth.com. That is the StraightwayTruth.com or StraightwayTruth.com. You can also find us on YouTube. If you would go to YouTube and type in my name, Pastor Dowell, PastorDowell. There, you can find many teaching videos. We preach and teach on just about everything that the Scriptures has to offer. We also have a Bible deliverance ministry. We teach people about health. And we also speak to you about how important it is to obey the covenant of the Most High. We hope to hear from you, you and you. That is our prayer. The King is coming.
All right. I see we have a caller in the queue, area code 336. Okay, I'll take the call now, because I had a few more I wanted to cover in the Protocols of Zion before getting into some other stuff. Okay, caller 336, you are on the air.
Hello? Can you hear
me? Yes, how are you? Yes.
Okay, lights just turned off in my house, so I'm hoping the phone is still on. This is Brother Harold. And I've been listening to your show for the last 2 months. And I have so many questions, but I'll sum it up to a couple, because I know you have to go on, getting the message out, the truth out to the people. By asking, is that I know you spoke on a lot of messages about, planet Nibiru and if I recall last week I was listening to Pastor Dow on Blog Talk Radio, and you mentioned something about they might have some type of technology with sound or something like that, cell phones. I mean, do you, you said that you would turn your electronics off, off. I wanted you to go into more, go into more detail in that and, reiterate it, because I try to explain that to my brother. I couldn't remember it word for word.
Okay. Not a problem. I'll go over that, briefly. Okay. It's called Silent Sound Spread Spectrum.
Okay.
And that technology, they have the ability to mimic our alpha and beta brainwave patterns just through sound. You know how people have this ringing in their ears all the time?
Yes, even I. That's scary, even myself. Yeah.
Yeah, the medical science is quick to dismiss it as tinnitus, but it's not tinnitus, because a lot of people have never had this happen to them before, and all of a sudden, most of the population is experiencing this now.
Yes.
Now,
that is true. I am, as well as my brothers and sisters, and I knew something wasn't right, because it's going on all over the place now.
Yeah. Now, what I was referring to as far as that FEMA and FCC test that we had last week, where they tried to take over all media, like televisions, phone, everything. They were trying to put out this test signal, but it failed. A lot of people were hearing a song from Lady Gaga, of all things. And we all know she's a big occultist. So
yeah,
I agree with you. Yeah, I don't see any coincidence there.
Yeah,
I read an article that Sister Rose sent me. And I read that article very carefully. And what I got from that article is they were stressing that we needed to hear some type of sound. So that's why I put a warning out to everyone. They will most likely try this test again to take over all media. What I suggest for everyone to do is when that test comes again, turn off your television, turn off your phone, turn off your two-way radios, turn off anything that can receive a signal.
I definitely will. I even told my brother, and he agreed with me. I have cell phones, computer, if I'm in a car, radio, everything where sound, you know, signals can travel through. Because, I mean, these elites, man, they have power. I mean, they have technology probably beyond my imagination. But they're not like the Most High. They're trying to be like the Most High, Yah, but they're not him. You know, they just, I give it to them. They might have some technology that is beyond our imagination, 10, 15 years, you know, ahead of us in the future. Like, they already had internet long before the public had it. And that's amazing. I found that out a few years ago. So, I mean, I listen to your show, and I listen to Pastor Dell and all that. And I thank y'all both for getting the message out there, for getting the truth out there. We need it. There's not a lot of people that's going to give us the truth. But I know you got to carry on with the show. My second question is, if I recall, this had been like a month ago. You were talking about Adam and there being, you know, other people around when he was created. I mean, was that true that you said that? And I don't want to.
Remember Cain and Abel. When Cain murdered Abel, Cain was sent away into the land of Nod, if I'm not mistaken, N-O-D. There was already a community there, and he selected a wife. So that right there tells you that there was already somebody here.
I don't mean to cut you off. Wasn't it a woman that he knew? Did the Bible say that he knew her or something like that? Because I thought that Adam might have had family. I remember God telling them to replenish the earth, and I was thinking that they already had other children. It's just the Bible didn't mention their names. And that's what I thought it was the whole time. Now, I might have to do further research, you know, but it could be true what you're saying.
Now, in the biblical sense, when you see the phrase, and he knew her, it doesn't mean he walked up and shook her hand and said, oh, yeah, I know her.
Oh, no. That's not what I thought, though. But, yeah, some people might perceive it as that way. They might.
Right. It's a sexual connotation.
Yeah.
He knew her. That's what they're saying there.
Yep.
Now, because remember, the garden was, I like to call it a special place. That's where Adam and Eve were placed. Because remember, Adam was created, then he was placed in the garden.
Yep. That's exactly
right. Outside the garden, you had the people in the land of Nod. Am I correct with that, Brother Shane? Nod? Are you in the chat room currently, caller?
Am I in the chat room?
Yeah.
Oh, no, sir. I got an account on there. I don't know how to use it. I've been trying to get in the chat room. I just don't know how to use it. I don't know how get online.
No, I just when Brother Shane posted that response that you'd be able to see it. But I'm pretty sure it was Nod, the land of Nod, that he was sent into. But I appreciate your call. Yeah, any more questions? Because, you know, I don't mind taking
Well, I know you got to get on with the show. Okay. Well, I have one more question. Okay. Now, this has been a tough. I mean, so many different answers about this. But are we, as mankind, are we the only beings in this universe? Because I mean, the UFOs. Woo-hoo. I mean, look at those shows and I see it on TV. I don't believe much of what I hear. I try to research on it. But,
now,
I mean,
Okay, that's a fantastic question. But I'll put it
this
way.
It's scary, though. It's scary, but I want to know the truth, even if it hurts.
No, it's not scary. Now, remember, we have beings called angels and demonic, or demon,
yeah.
You know.
Yep.
Now, those are other beings. Now, you have to remember, they have other duties than to just here on Earth.
Yeah.
Remember, Satan went through worlds and worlds, which can mean one of two things. He went through every Earth age destroying things, or it could also be interpreted he messed up other worlds, or eons, not Earth ages, eons, other worlds.
Oh, okay.
Now, since I haven't been there, I don't know, and I'm talking about Mars and the Moon. But
yeah. According
to NASA, but, you know, never a straight answer, they have found ruins, pyramids, and all other types of things. But like I said, I've never seen it with my own eye, so I can't say it's true.
I mean, people have said that they have that there's extraterrestrials out here. I believe the Bible talks about I can't pronounce the name, celestial beings, but they talk about extraterrestrials being out here, and even though the Bible don't really talk about, I mean, it's not in its modern day term extraterrestrial, right? I find it hard to believe that, and I'm like, well, if they exist, wouldn't God have a purpose for them as well? Wouldn't the Most High have a purpose? His commandments would be throughout the whole universe, not just this world. But like you said, Satan may have went through destroying many worlds. I don't know. I mean, there hasn't been any invasion like in these movies, you know, that, you know, in our lifetime that we have seen one. But I was just curious to ask about that question. I mean, ask that question because it's just the answers have to be truth there.
Okay, when I say the word reptilians to you, what comes to mind?
Lizard type beings. I mean, I've seen pictures when I have watched these shows on TV, and they would show, you know, these reptilian people, you know, they're in the same form as man, but they're reptilian like flesh and eyes and all that. But that's what comes to mind.
Okay, here's the next question behind that one. Who was in charge of the reptilians on Earth?
Well, conclusion would have to come, it would have to be the Hasatan. I mean, because he came as a serpent, right? In the garden.
Exactly. There you go.
Yeah.
So when you hear people talk about reptilians, you're talking about an ancient race that Satan rules.
Did Satan create them?
I wouldn't go as far as say he created them.
I mean, because
that I couldn't honestly answer to say yes, he did.
Because
failed.
yeah. Because when the Bible talks about a serpent spoke to Eve, when I was younger, I literally thought it was a literal snake. I mean,
We all did.
I was dumb back then. I mean, I was young and dumb. I really thought it was a literal snake. And I'm not saying that it can't be possible that he doesn't have these type of powers, though he be not more powerful than the Most High, but I literally thought it was a snake.
Well, we all did. I always thought it was an apple,
like,
too.
it wasn't that I had any disbelief. It's just I literally thought it was a literal serpent. I'm like, wow.
Yeah. Well, that's just a part of that brainwashing that they've done to it, to the masses, to society.
That's all it was. So that might be true, because I remember you talking about the giants as well, and you said that they could have stood as tall as cedar trees, because I believe it's in either Deuteronomy, and don't quote me on this, Deuteronomy or I want to say Leviticus, where I don't know if it was Joshua. Someone sent them out to, you know, observed the land of Canaan, and they came mm-hmm. back, you know, and they were frightened, afraid, talking about that they were in their sight and they were as grasshoppers. And I'm like, if I see an 8-foot man, I'm not going to look at myself as a grasshopper. I'm not going to put the analogy that I was like a grasshopper to him. An 8-foot tall guy is really, I mean, he is tall, but when you bring yourself down to an insect, I mean, these people had to stand about 20, 30 feet tall, maybe taller than that, like a cedar tree.
Yeah.
There's no way they can call themselves grasshoppers. And, I mean, with the Most High being on their side, it's amazing how they took down these people if they were around our size. Like, the average man is, what, 5'10", 5'11"? Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting here like, how can they take down a man that's 30, 40 feet tall or even taller than that? I don't know.
Well,
I mean, you can go on. I'm sorry.
Well, an example a lot of people will use is David or Dawood against Goliath. But Goliath was a midget. He was a descendant of the original Nephilim.
Yeah.
So he didn't have that height. Right.
Yeah, and I'm like, if he was short and 9 feet, I mean, I believe he was 9'6", maybe. If that's considered short, hello, are you still there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought my phone might have hung up. I got bad service. But if he was considered short at 9'6", I could just imagine how tall the original Nephilims were. Because I'm like, 9 feet is considered extremely tall in modern day. I mean, by the modern day eye. I mean, that's tall, but short in those days, in the days of old. So there have been discoveries of people digging up, you know, human skeletons that were about 19, 20 feet tall. But mm-hmm. they claim that a lot of evolutionists try to cover that up because it would go against their theory and all that. And I don't want to get into that. I know you have to go on with the show, but I listen to you weekly, and I'll continue to call in because you have a lot of truth in the messages that you bring forth on the show, and I encourage you to continue on. You know, we need people like you and Pastor Dal and Brother Shane and Brother Richard to continue to get the gospel out there. To
Amen.
The people that have to hear.
Yes, indeed.
Yep. I have so many more questions, but I'll call next week, and hopefully, as the weeks go by, I'll continue to get my questions answered. But
absolutely. I do really, really appreciate your call and the questions that you presented. It's very thought provoking. Very.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it as well. Watchman, you are the watchman, and I can just continue to get the message out, man. I'm with you the whole way. Shabbat shalom.
Well, it's not actually the Sabbath, but shalom.
Okay. I got to get used to those terms. You take care.
All right, you do the same.
All
Shalom.
Right. Shalom.
Oh, man. Well, listeners, that was a fantastic call. I mean, he asked some very stimulating questions, didn't he? I enjoyed that call. Really got my brain, got my brain juices flowing. It's okay. Well, let me see. We have half hour left in the show. Okay, I'm going to fast forward. Let me see. I wanted to read you. Well, let's put it this way. Okay, if you have pen and paper, take a look at protocol number 6. Read from paragraph 6 to 8, and it is in the subsection entitled we shall enslave Gentiles. Look at protocol number 10, read from 11 to 12. The subsection is called We Name Presidents. Look at protocol number 12, paragraph 4 through 6. It is called We Control the Press. Okay, now I'm going to read you protocol 15, paragraph 6. Subsection is entitled Gentiles Are Stupid. The Goyim enter the lodges out of curiosity or in the hope by their means to get a nibble at the public pie. And some of, I'm sorry. It's just some of this stuff in these protocols just makes me laugh. Excuse me. And some of them, in order to obtain a hearing before the public for the impractical and groundless fantasies, they thirst for the emotion of success and applause, of which we are remarkably generous. Oh, man, that is hilarious to me. Wow. And the reason why we get them this success is to make use of the nigh conceit of themselves to which it gives birth, for that insensibility insensibly disposes them to assimilate our suggestions without being on their guard against them in the fullness of their confidence, that it is their own infallibility which is giving utterance to their own thoughts, and that it is impossible for them to borrow those of others. You cannot imagine to what extent the wisest of the Goyim can be brought to a state of unconscious naivety in the presence of this condition of high conceit of themselves, and at the same time how easy it is to take the heart out of them by the slightest ill success, though it be nothing more than the stoppage of the applause they had, and to reduce them to a slavish submission for the sake of winning the renewal and success. Wow. By so much as ours disregard success, if only they can carry through their plans, by so much the Goyim are willing to sacrifice any plans only to have success. Man. Now, you see, that subsection was entitled Gentiles Are Stupid. Wow, did they? I think they summed that one up, whoever created this. Okay. I'm sorry, that made me laugh so hard. I was really containing my laughter as best I could, but it was tears coming out of my eyes reading that. Whew. Okay. Okay, I'm not going to read any more of the protocols. I had a couple more to read. Let me tell you. I'm going to give some more of the titles of the subsections, something I didn't read from. Might is Right. We Are Despots. We Support Communism. Masses Led by Lies. Monopoly Capital. Universal War. Jewish Superstate. Our goal, comma, world power. We are wolves. Oh, wait a minute. Right there, they're telling you who they are. Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Bam. Well, anyway, if you all are interested, check out the protocol design. It's some of that stuff in there is quite spooky, and some of it is rather entertaining. But I tell you, after reading what I have read, you should be grinning and laughing hysterically like I was. See, from my perspective, I don't care if they think or believe that they will have the upper hand. when the Most High returns with his warrior cast angelic host, woohoo, need I say more? Revelation 20:10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Yeah. It's like a burglar. Well, here's an analogy. It's like a burglar with a sack full of goodies, and he's backing out. I mean, just picture it. He's backing out of the door real slow. And all of a sudden, he backs into this obstacle. He turns around, only to see somebody with a heavy caliber weapon and one of those go-for-the-throat dogs. The SOL. Now, you know what I mean. Now, enough of the protocols. Let's go into some goodies, some other goodies. Now, this next item is about our moon and NASA. See, it's never a dull moment with those clowns watching the skies and telling lies. Many have thought that the moon, based upon previous information, was a place completely void of atmosphere. And that is what NASA has been telling people. Well, the plot thickens. Came across an article on NASA website, and it's science.nasa.gov if you'd like to go check it out. And I found something quite rib tickling. Now, before I read a portion of this article, allow me to define what an ionosphere is for those that don't know. It's basically the thin veil at the outermost reaches of our atmosphere that meets what we call outer space. And it's that area where you see most of your northern or southern lights, your aurora borealis. Now, here's the article. The first convincing evidence for an ionosphere around the moon came in the 1970s from the Soviet probes Luna 19 and 22. But how many of you actually heard about that out there? I didn't. Okay, continuing. Circling the moon at close range, the orbiter sensed a layer of charged material extending a few tens of kilometers above the surface, containing as many as 1,000 electrons per cubic centimeter, 1,000 times more than any theory could explain. Radio astronomers also found hints of the lunar ionosphere when distant radio sources passed behind the moon's limb. The idea of an airless moon having an ionosphere didn't make much sense, but the evidence seemed compelling. Continuing, as a matter of fact, the moon isn't quite as airless as most people think. Small amounts of gas created by radioactive decay seep out of the lunar interior. Meteoroids and the solar wind also blast atoms off the moon's surface. The resulting shroud of gas is so thin, however, that many researchers refuse to call it an atmosphere, preferring instead the term exosphere. The density of the lunar exosphere is about 100 million billion times less than that of the air on Earth, not enough to support an ionosphere as dense as the ones on the lunar probes, the ones that the lunar probe sensed. For 40 years, the moon's ionosphere remained a mystery until Tim Stubb of the Goddard Space Flight Center published a possible solution earlier this year. The answer he proposes is moon dust. Stubbs, a 30-something scientist who wasn't even born when the moon's ionosphere was discovered, read the accounts of the Apollo 15 astronauts who reported seeing a strange glow over the moon's horizon. Many researchers believe the astronauts were seeing moon dust. The moon is an extremely dusty place, naturally surrounded by a swarm of dust grains. Think Pete Pen and Charlie Brown. When these floating grains catch the light of the rising or setting sun, they create a glow along the horizon. Now, that was from that article on that about the moon's atmosphere. Now, and I just find it funny that they mentioned the Apollo mission at all in this article, considering all the controversy, whether they actually went to the moon or went to a Hollywood movie set. Now, some of you remember that movie called Capricorn 1. It was 1977, you know, with O.J. Simpson. I was going to say something. Where they faked their Mars landing. Now that NASA is telling us there's a type of atmosphere around the moon, my question is, what's next? Is the next bit of information going to tell us there are insects or microbial life forms? Seems that's what they're leading up to. Can you imagine a news headline, "Life Found on Lunar Surface," in the subtitle, "Scientists Are Dumbfounded at This Discovery"? Yeah, whatever. If there is life on or in the moon, I don't think they'll be too eager to stretch out a hand in friendship, especially if this life form has been observing the chaotic behavior of us Earth dwellers. See, to them, the Earth is probably like some kind of exotic zoo, you know, to other beings, hypothetical beings. In fact, let's hypothetically interview one of these beings. Question. So what did you think about your tour of Earth? Response. Interesting place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live there. Those hairless monkeys are crazy. Do you know some of them eat their dead children in China? Remember I talked about that in the last show. And some of them grind up and put their children in a strange food called McDonald's. Remember I told you about that in the previous broadcast. And some of them tie rubber bands to their ankles and jump from high structures. They're crazy, I say. The only thing I find interesting about Earth are the dolphins and whales, which are actually smarter than the monkeys. There is some nice vegetation there, but they destroyed the built parking lots. I'm surprised the Intergalactic Council has not quarantined this planet, you know, before they venture too far from their caves and infest the rest of the galaxy. They're like ants, the way they interact with one another. It's a good thing the creator of all is returning a clean house, because then it might be actually might be a nice place to vacation. Question. You mentioned the creator of all. Do any of them believe or acknowledge? Response. Wow. Let me think. Yeah, there are a few of them. Not many. I would guess out of the living 7 billion people, there were, well, less than 500,000. Most of them do their own thing or follow others that wear funny hats. Remember Pastor Dow was saying about the Pope and his fish hat? They're completely obsessed with hats. I just don't get it. Question. So you figure less than 500,000 Earth dwellers that are even trying to understand? The response. I'm just guessing from what I observed. It's probably much less than that. I was being optimistic. Probably more like 200,000. I would be surprised if any of them meet the final challenge. You should go visit that planet for yourself. You'll see I'm not exaggerating. They're crazy. Wow. Oh, and yes, we are. Earth has reached the 7 billion hungry miles as of October 2011. 7 billion people. And it's more. You figure a couple of weeks have gone by from October 31st. People. Okay. I'm going to take a short break. Play something nice here for you, and I shall return momentarily.
fragrance of Christ. Oh Lord, you let me sing. Fresh flowing water, feed this constant flame burning within me. Oh God, let me be your man. I hear your call to set me free.
Number one, so you'll be flagged in the system here. Now I'll be able to see it. I had a question from the chat room about that last song I just played. The title of the song is Send Me. It's from a church in Powder Springs, Georgia. The church is called Trinity Chapel. Now, they were in the process of recording a CD. I don't know if they've done it. So I don't know if you'll be able to find it online or not. You may be able to. I'm not sure. I just have to have it because I used to walk through the doors of that building years ago. Okay. I'll tell you what I'll do. Sister Rose, send me a message on YouTube with your email address, and I'll send you the song. How's that? Okay. Now, I'm going to close or head to the close of the show with another interesting topic. It's about an elusive creature that, as of date, has not been verified as an actual living, breathing dweller of and on this planet. Now, what I'm talking about is Bigfoot, also known as Yeti, Yowie, Mantic, Sasquatch, Skunk Ape, Abominable Snowman, Raksha, Kikomba, Skookum, Now, how do I pronounce this? I think it's Indian. Say, wow, it's T apostrophe N E M E K W E S. Semeques. I guess that's right. I hope I didn't bash that language. And it's also called Himalayan Beast, but there's a couple of more. And they're mentioned on just like every inhabited continent in this planet. Now, my question. our co-host is making some funny jokes there in the chat room. Obama is another name for this elusive creature. That's a good one. Now, my question is, does this creature really exist? Now, there have been reports as far back as the late 1800s or early 1900s of this strange, bipedal, hairy, large creature. So what is this mysterious creature? I will say one thing about it. If it does exist, it is pretty darn smart because it keeps avoiding humans. It's been doing this for a long time. So in my book, they get a gold star. They're pretty intelligent. Keep away from these crazy, hairless monkeys. See, I figure aside from the obvious hoaxes that are being perpetuated, people are seeing something. Now, if this creature does exist, another question could be, where does it come from? Our Bible record shows nothing about a Bigfoot type of creature, but it doesn't mean that it does not exist. See, if you approach it from the biblical deluge perspective, this creature had to come along after that event, we are told, destroyed everything. So I had this funny theory I used to toss back and forth with Sister Sybil. I said, if a person ever encounters a Bigfoot, what they should do is yell out the name Cain, C-A-I-N, and see what happens. It just might walk up to you and say, why did you use that particular name? What do you know about that? You might get a surprise. Now, what makes this Bigfoot plausible was the fossil record of this hominoid creature called Gigantopithecus, and it's from the Greek Gigaspithecus. It's giant ape. Now, this species stood, the largest of this species stood approximately up to about 10 feet tall. It was about 12,000 pounds big. I mean, these huge creatures. I mean, you've seen them on television. So this creature, the creature people are seeing could very well be the descendants of this great ape, the Gigantopithecus, and they've just gone undocumented, because they're smart. Now, also think about, they are still discovering creatures on this planet, on the surface of the planet, and in the deepest oceans. Here's an example of something old, still being around. And it was that sea-dwelling creature that they called the coelacanth. I think most of you are probably familiar with that word. They called it a lungfish. Now, science says this creature was around about 400 million years ago. Yeah, whatever. But what I'm about to say, one of these creatures, according to our fossil record, to our scientific historical record, was caught off the coast of South Africa back in 1938. And I think some of you are probably familiar with that. So here you have the coelacanth. You have the descendants of dinosaurs, what they think of birds today. You have your crocodiles, which are supposed to be the oldest living dinosaur, but I don't believe that. If coelacanth is still swimming around, and if Gigantopithecus is still walking around, we have no idea what's on this planet. We really don't. How many of us can swim to the deepest depths of the ocean? We only have accounts from these deep submersibles that go down, and they see all these strange-looking creatures that have lights and they look like jelly, and they get, you know, what was that movie?
It evades me. But the guy fell off the edge of the cliff with a bomb, and there was a city under the sea with these strange gelatinous creatures. Some of you may have recalled that movie, but that's what I'm talking about. We don't know what's down there.
So I guess caller 903 is just listening because it didn't flag itself in the system. So, but there we have about 6 minutes left in the program. Guest calling is 310-982-4226. If you'd like to offer a comment, ask a question, or just say hello to everyone. See, we have a comment in the chat room. Is at Walmart. He has his own line of beef sticks. No joke. Who does? Who has their own line of beef sticks, aside from snapping to a swim gym? Let me scroll back a little bit. I must have missed something here. Hippie kids in the woods. I don't know. I need to read this more often. I missed something. Harry? Oh, you're absolutely right. Harry and the Hendersons, whatever that movie was. Yeah, the big Sasquatch has his own. Okay, I got you now. I'm following. All right. Well, but regarding tonight's broadcast and the protocols of Zion, you know, I would. The only reason I would say I would urge you to maybe take a look at them, is like I said early in the broadcast, is to know your enemy. You have to know your enemy. Get a picture of their mind. What's going on? I mean, from the Bible, we already know what's going on. But from a humanistic perspective, if they have their plans laid out in front of you and you get a copy of their plans, you'll be ready for them when they come. You know what I mean? You know what I mean, Jelly Beans? Okay. We have about 3 minutes left in the broadcast. I don't know, that Bigfoot talk, though, that really... I find I do take an interest in that, because one day somebody's going to have, you know, what I started doing, I carry a video camera with me wherever I go. I mean, I don't care if I'm just going around and going to the gas station. I'll take a video camera with me, because you never know what you might see or encounter these days, the strangest things. So if I just happen to be out and I see Bigfoot run across the street, I'm going to be ready. And I'm going to be able to post it on YouTube for you all to see. And, of course, you're going to have those scoffers out there. Oh, that was just a black bear or a brown bear, somebody in a costume, whatever. And that's what people say. I know what I saw. It was not a bear. It was standing up. It was looking at me. It was throwing rocks at me. It wasn't a bear. It's just like years and years ago. I don't know if I've mentioned this on a previous broadcast. Years and years ago, my wife and I were up in Franklin, North Carolina. It was about 11 o'clock or so in the evening. We looked up at the sky, and the missus saw some lights moving across the sky. And I said, well, hon, that's most likely a satellite that we're seeing right there. And that one right there, that's a satellite. Then all of a sudden, over the tree line, this pulsing white light shot across the sky. It covered, it covered about 40 degrees in like 4 seconds. It pulsed bright white like a ball. And as the light faded out, it just left a trail of light behind it.
pulse back on, trailer light. It just moved across the sky. Oops, moved across the sky that fast. And it's times like that you wish you had a camera in your hand or a video camera of some type so you can document it. And that made me a believer that night, because that confirmed that we either have the technology for craft of that type, or there is actually something else going on, otherworldly. I don't know. But I hope you all enjoyed tonight's broadcast. Keep the faith. Keep your eye to the sky, your ears to the ground. Until next time, you have been with the Watchmen. Shalom to all. Peace and love.